give you right standing with him. So, ignorance of this truth will rob you of a lot of stuff. It will rob you of a lot of stuff. When this truth was being introduced, Israel resisted it so badly. It didn't make sense to them. Because they were stuck with the laws of Moses. But they didn't know that something new had started. So they were stuck with it. And because they were stuck with it, they were in trouble. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Romans chapter 9, verse 30 to 33. Romans chapter 9, verse 30 to 33. It's either you have your Bible, or you have your writing pad, or you have your writing notes. One of these days, I'm going to go around and check, because I'm a teacher. The next thing I'm going to have is a cane. So Romans chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not. I mean, we want you to remember what the Spirit of God is telling us. The Gentiles followed not after righteousness. Like Brother Chris was telling us yesterday at the prayer meeting, that the Lord told him a lot of people want to please him, but they don't know how. And they are just struggling for nothing. That's true. So the Gentiles which were not struggling to be accepted by God, they followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness. Even the righteousness which is of what? Of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, had not attained to the law of righteousness. They didn't attain to righteousness at all. They were not accepted. And I remember last week we were saying, how can somebody like all these Pharisees who were, Paul said, concerning the law, perfect, how can he believe that he is not accepted by God? It was a tough one for them. And even while Jesus was here preaching these things, they were challenging him. They were really challenging him. What must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus said, okay, how about the law? He said, from childhood now. Jesus said, okay, if you want to be perfect, sell what you have and what? Give to the poor. And the man got angry and left. We are not going to that scripture tonight. But it's so difficult for self-righteous people to accept righteousness from God. It is almost impossible for people who consider themselves righteous and good and must be accepted based on that, it is almost impossible for them to walk in humility. It's almost impossible for them. Because they have this mindset of the Pharisees. What else is there for me to do? I pray a lot. I study a lot. I'm a leader. And I'm this and I'm that. The resume is just this talk. But the Bible said they followed those concepts, thinking that those are the things that will make them acceptable to God, and they were not acceptable. They didn't attain righteousness. But those who didn't even follow it at all attained it. And the Bible tells us why, Romans chapter 10, verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. What do they have? Zeal of God. Many Christians have zeal. Sincere people. But not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of, what are they ignorant of? They being ignorant of what? For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Then the next verse. For they being ignorant of what? That's what they're ignorant of. They are ignorant of one thing. So being ignorant of God's righteousness, and then they were going about to establish what? Their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They were ignorant of God's righteousness, as many people are today. For years, I was very ignorant of this thing. Actually, when I began to study it, it was a struggle for me. Major struggle. Wherefore, verse 10. So being ignorant, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, which means they didn't accept the righteousness that God is giving. They rejected it. For Christ is the end of the law for what? Righteousness. To everyone that believes. It means Jesus brought an end the law as a means of righteousness. He brought it to an end and established a new means of righteousness, which is by faith in him alone. Then Christians who stumble are in the same boat as Israel. They are ignorant of the new righteousness, or they are not sure about it. Is a gray area for them, and they are suspicious of it. I will show you what the Bible says about such Christians. It's not very interesting. It's not very complimentary. And so Jesus becomes a rock of offense for believers. Jesus ignites offense in their heart. He did in me for many years. I will say all these people that the what they are telling people is do whatever you like, it's okay. So the thing made me really angry. It was later as I began to understand, I said, really, really, Jesus became a rock of offense to me. It started offense in me. It started anger. Offended by that. So they attack it with anger because they think, this must be heresy. This is making people to live anyhow, and then whatever they do, God accepts them. So they're offended by that. Jude chapter 2, verse 3. If you see Jude chapter 2, verse 3, can we know? Anybody found it? Yeah. Dear friends, I had been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. He said, I was planning to write to you about the salvation that we received. But now, I found that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all times to his holy people. Why did this man change his topic? Something urgent started to happen in the body of Christ. Verse 4. I say this because some, how did he describe them? Ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. See how the Holy Spirit describes such people? Ungodly people. If you read the book of James, you see that that's what the Spirit of God focused on. You'll be so shocked how it describes such. He said the condemnation of such people was recorded when? Long ago. For they have denied our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8 of Jude. In the same way, these people who claim authority from their what? Dreams. They have all these wild dreams. They say the Lord told me all these wild dreams and all those things. Live immoral lives. They defy authority. They don't respect people. They are arrogant. You can't teach them. They're very unteachable. See, they defy authority and scoff at supernatural beings. Verse 10. But these people, again, scoff at things they do not, what? Understand. Like unthinking animals, they do whatever their instincts tell them, and so they bring about their own destruction. You can now see why Paul was writing and saying, was very grieved about Israel for rejecting the righteousness of Christ. So, two kinds of righteousness. Let's go back and have some background on this. There are two kinds of righteousness. One is a work of the law, which men do, which Moses brought, the righteousness of the law. The other is a gift of God based on the work of God in Christ. One is a work of men. One is earned. One is what to labor for. One is not under grace. The other one is a gift of mercy, a gift of grace. It's enjoying what God has done. You don't labor for it. You come and enjoy. Actually, grace is calling you to come and enjoy what God has what? Prepare for it. That's why he said, he maketh a table before me in the presence of what? And to come and eat. That's why Jesus said that healing is children's bread. It's already provided. Grace is calling you to come. I was illustrating on Sunday. Adam, God created everything and created him to come and enjoy. That's grace. Because Adam did nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. God just created him. Come and enjoy this. That's grace. God has always planned for man to live by what he did. By what God did, not by what man did. So, the first righteousness is the righteousness of the law. The other one is righteousness that's a gift from God based on what God did. This one is based on what men do. This one is based on what God did. Romans 10, 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man who doeth those things shall live by them. The man who what? Doeth those things. So who does it? Can I hear you? Who does it? The man does it. God doesn't do that. It's outside of grace. And like we said last week, the law failed to produce righteousness, to make man accepted to God. Because don't forget that the problem of man really is not character issue, it's nature. So character training cannot change it. Praise the Lord. So when the law was given, it was given to men who were dead in sin and what? Trespasses. So what do you expect them to do? Break it. It's because by nature, they were children of wrath. Just like all of us according to the Holy Spirit. By nature. He said by nature, we obeyed the lust of the flesh like everybody else. By nature. So Romans 8:3 said, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. See, the flesh of man, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might now be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 5:19. No, don't go to, let's read James 2:10 first. I'll pull Romans 5:19 later on. James 2:10. Let's read it together. Whosoever shall do what? And yet offend, he is guilty of what? Have you seen any such person? So you see that the righteousness of the law is impossible. So you now understand when the Holy Spirit writes and says that by the deeds of the law shall no man be justified before God. When you understand what God is saying, look at your own life. You don't have to look at somebody. Then when you realize that by the deeds of the law, you cannot be justified before God, then you now see the need for God to give you righteousness as a gift, as an act of mercy. Praise the Lord. So now we see that the man do it, nobody can really do all of it. And so God sent his son so that through what his son did, you and I can be accepted to God. Through what his son did, not what the man doeth, it's what God doeth. It is called grace. Grace is about what God does for you to come and enjoy. It's nothing you do. Grace, it's nothing you do. So, this is the new righteousness that the gospel began to announce. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. See now, the power of God is now working. It's not the power of men now. Talking about what God is doing, it's the power of God that is working now. It's what God is doing now, not what man is doing. For it is the power of who? I want to hear you. It's the power of who? So it's not your power. The scripture told us it's not by power and not by might. It's by the Spirit of God. Now is the power of God. The gospel is about the power of God at work through Christ to give you what you couldn't get. It's called grace. You can walk away from it and go under a curse. That's your choice. If the Lord will lead me, I'll still dwell on this on Sunday, because a lot of people are laboring under a curse who are Christians. I see nothing at all. For it is the power of God. Everybody say the power of God. Say it louder. Come on. So what is it that is working now? I want to hear you. What is it that is working now? And it's working in your favor. God has come, Emmanuel. God came on the scene. Say, what the law could not do, God sent his son to achieve, so that the righteousness of the law will be fulfilled in us, who don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Which means you walk after the word of God, which is Spirit, who follow the instruction of the Holy Spirit as he teaches you and guides you in the word. You don't follow the flesh, you don't follow your human wisdom. So he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of Jesus, is the gospel, the good news about Christ, what he did, what God did through him, the power of God unto that brings us freedom. Salvation is freedom. Brings us freedom, called salvation, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein now is the righteousness of man. Whose righteousness? The power of God producing God's righteousness, giving you acceptance. The power of God, God's righteousness, everything is about what God is doing. God's righteousness is now revealed. For therein is the righteousness of God, what? Revealed from faith to faith. It's all by faith. It's nothing. You are doing nothing about it. You just believe. It's faith to faith. From faith to faith, there's nothing else. Again, I want to remind you that grace is about what God has done. He has made a table before you. And your job is to come. I didn't hear you. I want to hear you again. Come and eat. It's called grace. Adam lived under grace. Adam produced nothing in creation. It was all the power. And when God finished, he said, let us now make man. And he said, Adam, this is all yours. Enjoy. Give them name. Everything. It's all yours. Enjoy. It's called grace. It's called what? It's called unmerited. It's called favor. It's mercy. Undeserved. You don't earn it. So Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith as it is written. What is written? The just, he said the Holy Spirit wrote it, that the only way the just can live is by his faith. Faith in what God has done. That's why the Jude was writing. He said, these people who are doing this, they're denying the Lord Jesus Christ. They're very ungodly people. They are denying what Christ has done. They are calling Jesus a liar. They are making fun of what God did. They are ungodly people. I will show you with time why he said that they live immoral life. They live. I will show you why. It's there. And it's the same thing with every Christian who rejects the righteousness of God. They don't live good life. It's not possible. It's impossible. It's impossible. Romans 3:21. But now, Romans 3:21. But now, what does it mean? Right now. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law. And what? What he's saying is that the law and the prophet wrote about it. They witnessed it. They wrote about it. Isaiah wrote extensively about the Lord our righteousness. Extensively about it. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified, how? Being justified. I'm ahead of this thing. Being justified, how? So being made righteous freely by his grace. You see what I mean? Grace is about what God is doing, what God did for you, what God called you to enjoy. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Keep going. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his what? You can see how many times the Holy Spirit is writing this. Actually, the book of Romans, from first chapter to 7 or 8, focuses on this righteousness. Focuses on it. I read a story about one young girl crammed the book of Romans. He really crammed it. I was so proud of it. So he was telling somebody, he said, I've memorized the entire book of Romans. So the person said, wow, so you understand now the righteousness of faith. He said, what is it? He said, you memorized the book of Romans. He said, yeah, what is it now? He said, that's the theme of that book, from first chapter to 7th, 8th chapter, it's always talking about. He started to from first chapter talking about the Gentiles, second chapter the Jews, how they have all fallen. Chapter 3, he said the summary is that both Jews and Gentiles, those who have the Lord, those who don't have the Lord, they have all sinned. None is righteous, no, none, not is righteous. Then he continued to talk. He said, because now all have sinned, now God is calling, will now give us righteousness if we believe in Jesus Christ. He made that point to chapter 8. Can say, Lord, open my what? And began to read it, and God began to open. Read story. God began to open her eyes. She was shouting. But she memorized it. Praise the Lord. So what verse are we? Verse what? Verse 25. Let's go back to 23. For all have, that is Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely now by his what? Grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his right. Do you see how the Spirit of God repeating this thing? To declare his righteousness, he said, I say it again, to declare his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in who? Then verse 27 asks a serious question. Where is what? Boasting then. What can you boast about? What can I boast about that brought you before God? He said, it is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But the law of faith, because it's just faith you receive this, so why boasting about it? It humbles everybody. I've always said it. If you understand the grace of God, you will never be proud the rest of your life. In fact, you'll be so happy, you see yourself as nothing. You really see, you see God really in the way God is. You will see how merciful and how awesome. Believe you me, you cry a lot. Your heart will melt. Because when you begin to meditate on you and what God did for you, you'll be amazed at his grace. The man that wrote Amazing Grace knows what he's talking about. You will walk like Ahab the rest of your life. You won't quarrel again. In fact, if they tell you to sit down, you quickly what? Sit down, cross your leg and keep your hand where it is. I'm telling you, the thing humbles you like nothing. You know, the thing that makes us proud is we think we have this entitlement mentality. So we think I'm good. So if I'm good, then I must be better than Muhammad. And we start all this comparison thing. And if they tell you to sit down, we'll sit down. Exactly what the book of Jude said. He said they are unteachable people. Because they think they are somebody. God must be impressed with me. Praise the Lord. So Christ made us right with God. He made us righteous. So there's nothing we can boast about that we did. Can't point to anything except to receive it by faith. And so in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. See, it is grace. It is grace. To the praise of the glory of his grace. That his grace reveals his glory, wherein he has made us what? Accepted in the beloved. To the praise. Brother, I was listening to one preacher. He was talking about how American preachers will come visit him. I mean, when you pastor a church of 750,000, the whole world will come to see what it is. So American preachers will come. Plane load of them. He said, we take them to go and pray with him. He said, 5 minutes, they're all tired. He said, all they'll be saying hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They'll be sitting down looking for coffee today. They're all tired. He said, how can you be tired 5 minutes? He said, it takes me 30 minutes to 1 hour to thank God for his grace. He said, am I done? He said, I start blessed. He said, what God did for me in Christ is so numerous. He said, every day I start my day praising the Lord for everything he did for me in Christ. He said, so much my heart rises in gratitude. He said, I don't know where 1 hour goes. He said, these are American preachers. He said, they start with me. 5 minutes, they are tired. They're all sitting down. So they'll be listening. He said, they'll be watching me. They'll be saying, yeah, bro, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And they say, because they don't know what to say. If you come to prayer meeting, I've been saying this, even before I had it. If you understand grace, your prayer will not be a drag. Your worship will be a different level. It's not music thing. It's a heart of gratitude for the indescribable things you receive. It's a heart of gratitude. It's a heart that appreciates God from the bottom of what? Your heart. You can't really appreciate God enough. My daughter Imel was sharing with us yesterday how she was worshiping God and started to cry. He said, I couldn't stop crying. Even when I greeted my co-workers, I was still crying. Because her spirit connected with the goodness of God. And she couldn't stop. She just couldn't stop. He said, I went to my work, I just couldn't stop. I was just crying. Just worshiping God. He said, in my car, I was just singing. And when I got to my work, I could, all I was, tears in my eyes. I said, yeah, you touched. Deep touches, speaks to deep. That's what it is. And when you have that understanding, giving to God becomes your delight. All these are talking about tithe, they don't know God. Tithe, how much do you have? They don't know God. When you know God, you give your all. Everything. What are you keeping back? I was sharing with my brother pastor. I said, I don't understand how a human being can think that he owns anything. What do you own? The house you bought is not your own. Very soon you will be 80-something, 90-something, go home, die. Somebody else will own it. Come back another 50 years, the people that own it don't even know you. People keep owning and dying and going, keep owning and dying and going, the thing remains because the art is what? The Lord's. And the fullness, yeah, we keep owning, you die, they bury you. Another person owns, dies, they bury him. It just keep moving. But the owner owns it. You came into this world with what? And you are living what? They bury you with nothing. That teaches you you don't own it. The earth is still the Lord's and the fullness. Oh yeah. People keep, you bought a car, you own it. One thing, it goes to junkyard. They melt it, use it for something else. You might see your car, it has become a Volkswagen. The dollar you have today, you spent it, somebody took it over. Somebody took it over now. It's no more in your pocket. So how is it your own? One day we'll leave this earth. And that dollar remains. The owner is God. It remains there. So when we collect all these things and think we own, these are foolishness. Is it not what Jesus talked about, the man that his barn was full? He said, my heart, relax now. See what I own. He said, you're a foolish man. This day, with your soul will be what? Let us know who now owns it. You are going to lose ownership tonight. You are going. No more ownership. Not even a legal ownership. You are out. Somebody else say, let us now see who. This thing, you're crooked. Let us see, really, if it's your own or God that owns it. Check you out. Out you go. I don't even know why I went there. But I went there anyway. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes they move you to the direction, bring you back to what they're saying. Somebody needs to hear this. Because sometimes we are very, very stingy, very miserably stingy and wicked with what belongs to God. And really, that's when you increase. I'm telling you, that's when you really what? When you honor God with it and say, God, this belongs what? So what do you want to do? That's when the increase comes. I want to ask you a question. Do you think that if God wants to do something in this church that is financial, do you think he will give money to those who don't pay tithe or those who will pay tithe? Why? Because they will bring it. He says, I know Abraham, that he's faithful, that he's going to keep my word, so I'm going to make him rich. He said, I know Abraham. He's a faithful man. He will make his children do what I said, so I will establish this covenant to continue because I know him. So I know that man. If God wants to buy something, he won't give money for the, he will give it to people who will give because he knows everybody. He knows everybody. He knows who will give. So the person will be blessed and he'll come to you and say, when you go to church, write this check. Because you know the man will give. So, but he won't give you because if he gives you, to prosper is not difficult. It's not difficult. It's just to know that what God gave you is not your own. Just honor God with it and say, Lord, you gave it. It's all yours. My life and everything is yours. Whatever you want to do with it. What? The Bible says we were created for his pleasure, not for our pleasure. That's how to prosper. Many people struggle because they have selfish spirit. Are we not reading the Bible when the Holy Spirit says, you ask, you don't receive because you want to spend it on what? On yourself. You say, I'm not giving you. Quote the Bible from that to one that I won't give you. I know you're high, you're wicked, you're selfish. I'm not giving you. You think I give you to sponsor your selfish project? No. He said, you are asking me, you won't get it because all you do is spend it on yourself. He said, I'm not giving you. Lord, why did I go there? What? Praise the Lord. So let's go back to righteousness. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Wherein, oh yeah? Really? Okay. So, listen to this. Even the one that the miserly person, the Lord says you have to say it. The one he has will be taken what? From him and give it. He said, not only will I not give, I take the one he has and give to those who will bear fruit. So I'll take it to him. And give to those who bear fruit. Yeah? So Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. He made us accepted. He made us what? Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of who? One shall many be made right. It's by the obedience of Christ to go to the cross that we are made righteous, not by your own obedience. So the gift of righteousness is very key to living the new life in Christ. The new life, the higher life of the Spirit is very key. It's fundamental to enjoying every other thing that God provides for you in Christ. It's very, very foundational to be able to walk in all the graces of God. So in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you what? Nothing. For I testify again. He said, I've testified to you before. Now I'm testifying again. To every man that is circumcised, that is a debtor to keep, to do the whole law. Verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by what? You are falling from grace. You see why? That when you fall off grace now, brethren, you fall off everything that God gave you for life and godliness. You will not live a godly life. Because there's no other provision anywhere for it, except what God has provided for you in Christ. That the Bible says he has given us all things that we need for life and what? Godliness. So when you fall off grace, you can't do with those things. You are like Adam that has gone out of the garden and now sweating like this and to produce aching out of it. You can't produce nothing. That's why the Holy Spirit said in Jude, say those people are ungodly people. Their flesh rules them. Because they denied righteousness. They denied grace. So all the things that God provided for them for life and godliness, Christ profits them nothing. So the death on the cross, the resurrection profits them. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have what? Access to what? By faith into what? This grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access to the grace by faith because we are justified by faith, because we are counted righteous by faith. We are justified by faith. Paul said, if you want to be justified any other way, he said, Christ will profit you what? Nothing. You can't access anything that God has done or provided. Nothing at all. Nothing. And then let me deal with how bearing the fruit of the Spirit, this is key and fundamental. You know, this resolves many issues. When you see there are Christians, when they behave, you wonder if they've been to church before. You really wonder. It shocks you. But this explains it very, very well. John chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear what? Fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are just reminding you, it's the works I do that makes you live this life. It's not the work you do. Between the branch and the tree, who does the main thing? The branch or the tree? The tree. So I'm the vine now. You are just the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth how many? Much fruit. But without me, you can do not. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, even your prayer, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So what is to abide in him and he in us? Is to have the same way you came into Christ. When you came was by faith in him. That's how you came into Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believed and you came into Christ. So when you live by faith in him, and his word abides in you, you develop intimate fellowship with the Spirit of Christ. It is this intimacy with his Spirit that makes you live the Christian life. It's this intimacy called fellowship. It's this intimacy Without acceptance of righteousness, if you reject this acceptance of righteousness, it affects your intimacy with him. Because while you are avoiding him and not thinking that you accepted, how can two work together except they agree? And without this intimacy with him, you can't be afraid. It's living a life of intimacy with the Spirit of Christ. From the Old Testament to the New, all the people that lived and lived a life that pleased God were the people who lived by faith in God. They were the people who had intimacy with God. So, what do we call Abraham? A friend of who? Does it not tell you about intimacy? And God said, will I do anything without first telling who? My friend Abraham. That's intimacy. And Abraham lived a life that God used to give us an example. And then let's see some other. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a what? Just man. And what again? Perfect in the generation. Why? And Noah did what? What with God? Just like Abraham developed intimacy with God, Noah had intimacy with God. And the Bible says Noah was perfect. Why? It was his faith. Because about that time that Noah was perfect, there was no law. No, there shall not. There's no law at all at that time. It was his faith that pleased God. Noah trusted God. And because the Bible tells us that anything that is not of faith is what? Sin. Do you know why? It's a very simple thing. Because faith is trusting in what God is doing. Doubt is trusting in what man is. And the flesh will profit you. Faith is relying on what God does, what God says. Doubt and unbelief is doubting what God is doing and relying on what you do and your brain tells you. And that is called sin. Because it's coming of flesh, the arm of the flesh. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 14, verse 23, am I communicating at all? Romans chapter 14, verse 23. And he that doubted is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of it. For whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. Is sin. Is sin. Because faith receives what grace has provided. Unbelief rejects what God has provided and decides to provide it himself. Genesis 5:24. And Genesis 5:24. And Enoch what? What? Who was the first one that walked with God? No. Abraham also walked with God. Who else who said about who? No. And then this is the third person. And Enoch what? Walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. He so pleased God that God took him. Took him alive. And the word walk is to have intimate relationship. And Paul was praying for the church. He said that the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will what? Be with you. Genesis 39 verse 2. And the Lord was with who? Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3. Can we read verse 3 together? And his master saw that the Lord was with him. It's visible. When you have intimacy with God, it's visible. People will see it. I'm not kidding. People will see, they'll see that this man was with God. And they will talk about you, they will talk about that God. That's why Jesus said, let your light what? So they would glorify your Father. So now, what this man saw, what the man was not talking about Joseph, The man said, well, I see God is with this man. There's a God in this man's life. And his master saw that the Lord was what? With him. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper. I told you prosperity is not difficult. But when you go into this selfish mode that the flesh guides, thinking you prosper there, wasting your time. God wants us to prosper. But this is the man that God has prospered. The man that works with God, is a teammate with God, and lives in faith in God. Praise the Lord. Now verse 5. And it came to pass, let's see what this presence of God does in the life, the intimacy with God does. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a what? A goodly person and well favored. Verse 7. And it came to pass after this thing that his master's wife cast his eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me, but he refused, and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he had committed all that he had to my hand. Did you know why Joseph was able to say no? God was with him. Is that intimacy with God? You know what? If left on his own, the Bible says, if not for the Lord that was with us, the enemy would have swallowed us. If not God. That's why when you understand the grace and mercy of God, you'll be very humble. You can't be proud and take glory and people praising you ahead this world. And if they don't praise you, get angry. Jude verse 24. Jude again, not Judges. Jude. Okay, good. You got it this time. Can we read Jude 24 together? Let's go. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you what? Faultless before the presence of God. Be his glory with what? Exceeding joy. Let's read it again. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with excellent joy. He's the one that keeps us from falling. He's the arm of the Lord. Power unto salvation. What God does is what keeps you. Not what you do. It's what God does that keeps you. Lest you begin to share his glory and you fall. It's what God does. He had intimacy with God. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. But you can't have that intimacy unless you accept the gift of what? Righteousness that makes you know that God is with me. And the devil will say, no, it's not with you. Say, no, it's with me. It's a gift. And that will give you the boldness to come in his presence, to bless him, to worship him, and expect him to talk to you, expect him to share your life with you, and you begin to develop this intimacy. And because of that intimacy, he will show you great and mighty things you've done. He guide you and guide you and guide you and keep you. And your life will begin to, because now he's divine and you are not attached to him, your life will produce a harvest of good works. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? If you got what I'm saying, shout hallelujah. Now, that intimacy, that gift of righteousness produces boldness. Boldness. Psalm 27 verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is also the what? the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear. Why? For thou art with me. I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art. So God gave us the gift of righteousness. So you can say at any time where you are, the Lord is what? With me. I shall fear no evil. But when you are not sure whether he's with you or not, fear will grip your heart. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Hebrews 3, 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steady unto the end. You can't have confidence when you don't have boldness. You will not enjoy the blessings. Being partaker of Christ comes through having confidence and boldness that comes in knowing that the Lord accepts me, the Lord is with me. And when you pray, your prayer will not be with confidence. And then you approach God with evil heart of unbelief. But look at Ephesians 3:11. According to the eternal purpose, which he has purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, verse 12, in whom we have what? Boldness and what again? Access with what again? Confidence by what? By faith of him. Three things we have. What are they? Boldness, access, confidence. How? By faith in him. So you can pray with confidence. You live your life with expectation. We get defeated before we get defeated. You will be defeated before you are what? Defeated. Do you know why you are defeated? In your heart. I was telling them yesterday, I said, Christians do stuff. I was asking Lord, I said, Lord, what do you do with all this unbelief and all this doubt? He said, I do nothing. He said, they take the matter out of my hand and they lose. He said, what you don't trust with me, I don't get involved. A lot of battles we lose, it's not God. Roll up your sleeve, tie your wrapper, and go and say to the devil, you are not taking this thing from me. Resist the devil, and he will free. Let your faith rise. I was telling them yesterday, I said, we must have violent faith. Don't believe in quack, 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 quack. Believe it with all your heart. Be strong in it that God has given me the gift of righteousness, and no devil will convince me otherwise. Because the devil will try to convince you, you're a liar. You are a liar. The testimony of God says that God has given me this as a gift. The Lord is with me. I shall fear. You be strong. You be agitated in your spirit. You rise in righteous indignation and say to this liar, get out of my life. I know in whom. You got to believe these things. It works. All this fear, lack of boldness, because we don't understand that we're accepted. So you can't, like David say, even if I walk through the shadow, valley of the shadow of the death, I shall fear. Our heart is full of evil. We fear evil. This will happen. I'm not sure what happened. And Lord, remember your promise. God said, shut up, I gave you the blessings. Don't bother me. I've given you all things that pertain to life and what? Go defend your turf. Leave me alone. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Somebody came to me and said, Pastor, said my son, I don't go to school. The way he goes to school, he's following this group. And when they finished, I said, stop telling me that story. I said, you go deal with the devil. The devil is stealing your child. Come here and be talk. Am I the devil? Go and deal with the thing. Don't stop telling me all these stories. What have you learned? God gave you a child. It's your child. The devil is stealing you. Come here and be complaining.
Where is your confidence? Arise and shine. Ooh, let the light ooh, all over the place. I said, get angry. Snake came to your house and came to me. Am I a snake killer? So they went. After some time, they came to me smiling. They said, Pastor, wow, there's tremendous change. I said, yeah. So Christians, instead of understanding what God has done, they keep blaming God, going to God, where you should be resisting the devil and fight, duking it out with the devil and say, you are a liar. You are a liar. But we must know these things now and be rooted in it and be grounded in it. So you have boldness. In whom we have what? Boldness, what again? Access, and what again? If you have access, why are you looking for a prophet? You don't know. You accept it. You don't know. You don't believe it. You don't accept it. Jude is talking about you. If you accept it, why do you need me? For God's sake. If you accept it, you go boldly. Somebody shout hallelujah. You wake up and say, Lord, I worship you. I'm accepted. I'm in your presence, Lord. I give you praise. Whoa, this is amazing. Nothing is between you and me. The blood sanctifies me. You begin to say what God says. Your spirit rises in praise. Your spirit rises in excitement. I mean, the victory is already yours. But you wake up in the morning with, remember me, oh Lord, remember me, oh. My friend, nobody's forgotten you. What you forgot is the Bible. Can I hear amen? Nobody forgot you. God says, I will never forget you. I wrote you in the palm. Is anybody hearing me? This topic is very important. Go and study it. Ask God to open your boldness with. And when you talk with authority. When you pray with expectation. When you wake up, you see victory. You know that every blessing is yours. It's not a question of, this is not even in doubt. And when things have not turned around, you can go to bed and sleep. Knowing in whom. Oh, sure. His word is here. You live under grace. You refuse the devil to push you under labor of your sweat and everything. Where you're sweating, you don't sleep. You have butterfly all over. And your mouth is saying evil things. Where is your praise?